stories in the Bible. I'm going to move around a little bit. I don't know if that's going to mess up with some. Do we have a wireless mic that's available right now? Because if I move around a little bit, I know sometimes the older people sometimes will say, I couldn't hear you because you got away from the mic. But one of it, to me, the story of Abraham offering Isaac, to me, is one of the greatest signs and showings and of faith that, to me, we read about in the Bible, besides of Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary. But the if you how many of you have kids in here? Raise your hands. You have children. I mean, when you think about the offering of a child, the very fact that he was ready. I mean, there's times I want to kill my kids. There is. There's times. And it's good. I'm thankful that they're cute kids, because sometimes that's the only thing that keeps you from killing them. But thanks, somebody agreed with me anyways. But, you know, they can test you and your ability, right? Okay, to control yourself. But, you know, one of the greatest things, I could not, when I read this story, Brother Morris, I could not fathom. And I don't want to imagine, I don't want to know how Abraham could get to this place to where he was literally at the point of cutting his son's throat on the altar, that he was going to burn him as a sacrifice. I can't even fathom how that works. Thank you, preacher. But I can't even fathom how that would work. I don't want to know. I don't want to have to offer any of my children on an altar. But when we read this story, what a great reminder of faith that we have. And that we're picking up verse 1. We'll read down through a few of these verses. I may ask a couple people to join in on Sunday school. I know my pastor does that a lot of times. He'll have the Sunday school class join in, read a couple scriptures so we can get through it a little bit faster. But in Genesis 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here ye with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And we're going to stop right there. We're getting a running start. We're going to get through most of the chapter as we go through this lesson, but we get the running start of this whole thing. And we understand that when Abraham made that statement, God will provide a lamb for the offering. He wasn't just making some kind of a wild statement there. He was trusting in God's promise. God had promised that Abraham's seed would become a great nation, but through Isaac. He was claiming God's promise there. You know, I think it was one of the last times I was here, I preached on a message about God's promises. This book, from cover to cover, is filled full of God's promises. We understand that. We don't have to live our lives in fear and wondering. Listen, our country is in a terrible mess today. It is crazy. I never thought there was that many people out there that thought in a way of stupidity and that there is, but there is. They people have been brainwashed. People have been just taught so many things that are wicked and vile and evil. And you think of the things that are going on, but you know we don't have to live in fear. We know the last chapter, right, brother? We know what's going to happen. We know we're on the winning side. It's a wonderful thing, so we don't have to do that. But as we go through our life, we are going to go through trials. We are going to go through tests. God is going to grow us in our faith. We understand that. God never wants us to stay where we're at. He wants us to grow in our faith. He wants us to go there. And I understand I'm talking to many senior saints here today. I'm talking, and many of you have lived through way more trials than I ever have in my life. So I know I'm preaching to the choir here today. But you know what? It's just going to be a reminder of ourselves here today of when we go through the trials and when we go through those tests from God, that we can have faith in God. Just a reminder of these things. Stories like this remind me many times when I read them and I go back over them and I examine myself. It allows me to actually say, where is my faith compared to this? Where is my faith compared to this? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for this time. I thank you for these dear people. God, I pray that you would clear out my heart, my mind, God, anything that would be of me. God, I pray that you would help us here in this Sunday school time. And God, I pray that you would clear out anything that would be of me, God, and fill me up with your Spirit. Allow me to be a vessel that's overflowing with your Spirit. God, I pray that these dear people would take something here today from heaven that you have for them. And God, apply it in their lives that, God, we can live in such a way that would bring you praise, honor, and glory. God, I thank you and praise you for all that you're about to do in Christ's name. Amen. And tests are not very fun. Brother Morris, when I went to school, I did what I had to pass. That's the student that I was. I did what I had to do to pass. Was I a bad kid? No. But did I do the extra work to get the A? I just wasn't that kind of person. I just didn't see the point of it. My parents didn't encourage it. You know, at that time, there was a lot of turmoil in our house. My parents were just glad, hey, he's still passing. So it was like, you know, I was a CB student, unless it was something that really struck my interest. When I went to Votech, Brother Morris, I graduated with honor as a honor student, A+ the whole way through, because I loved to do that. I was so interested in doing those things, and I did that. But tests are a very necessary part of learning. Tests prove to us and to those that are testing us what we know. When God sends us through a test, he already knows where our heart is. He already knows that. Remember back in the wilderness when he sent the Israelites for 40 years through the desert, it wasn't to prove to God who they were. God already knew who they were. It was to prove to them who they were, whether they would serve God or not and continue to do that. He says that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. When they're getting ready to go into the promised land, he says, this was to humble thee and to prove to thee what was in thy heart. God, when we go through trials and we go through tests, it's to prove to us who we are. It's to prove to us where we are in our faith. But a test grows us and shows us what we know. Abraham was tested by God to show whether he truly feared the Lord. And we see in Genesis 22:12, we can see that there. The story is a great example of a God-fearing father, and keep this in mind, an obedient son. Now, nowhere in this story do we read about where Abraham had to wrestle with Isaac to get him onto that table. And listen, folks, discipline with our children is necessary because them being obedient in the time of a calling is very important, and we see that in this story. Listen, when you say, come here, that could be something that saves your child from a lot of things. When you tell your child no, that means no. Our children need to be disciplined in a biblical way. When my oldest daughter Alyssa, Brother Morris was a child like our last one, and trust me, this our last one is like everything bad of me and my wife. But, and I don't know if it's older or if it's just God's like, okay, you guys think you did good with the first ones. Let's see what you can do with this one. I don't know what it is. I don't know if we're just reaping what we sowed, brother, but it's there. Trust me, the test is real. So, but you know, that could be the difference of your child running out in front of a vehicle. And we learn it here in this story. Think about this, and we're going to see some of it, of the obedience. When God said Abraham, what did he say? Hear my Lord, right? When Isaac said Father, he said, here am I, son. We have to understand Abraham set the example, and we as parents need to set the example to our children. When God says now, that means we respond. Now, delayed obedience is nothing more than disobedience. But if you think about this entire chapter, what took place, Abraham's hand was out to stretch forth. And if Abraham would have not had that submission to God like he needed to have in obedience, he might have cut his son's throat, because he might not have heard the angel of the Lord saying, Abraham, Abraham. So we need to get to this point and understand why it's so important. Listen, we talk about this all the time. There's nothing more frustrating than disobedient children. I mean, my wife and I were raised in a time period where, you know, it was old school. You be seen but not heard. So we have to understand to get to this place. And it might be my phone, brother. But we had to get to this place where we understand, like with our children, you know, we see it all the time. Kids just go, they just go crazy. And it's like, there's no obedience there. There's no obedience. Listen, it's so important to get your children when they're young to learn to listen to you. So as they, listen, if your kids won't listen to you, how do you expect them to listen to God? It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple, folks. But this was a great example of this. Through his willingness to offer up his son, his only son, Isaac, God blessed, he was blessed by God. God will put us through tests. Our testing may not be as drastic, and praise God for that, but just as crucial. Will we pass the test? Ask yourself that. When God sends you through the test, through the trial, are you going to pass it? See, the thing with God, he's not like our public school system. If you pass the test, because if you don't pass the test, you're going to go down the road. You're going to pass. You're going to take the test again. You don't pass a D. You know, God's not one of those ones. What's 4 plus 4? It's 23. No, God says 4 plus 4 is 8. You need to answer 8. And we need to get this place. Listen, there's a lot of people, Brother Morris. They get frustrated with something that goes on in church, they get all bent out of shape. They go down the road, go to the next church, and you know what's going to happen when they get to that church? They're going to take the same test. Until they pass the test, they're going to keep taking that test. What's the story to be told in this chapter? Number one is the testing of Abraham. In verse 1 and 2, we can see the test. That test is that word where it says here in verse 1 and 2. Look at it with me. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. God didn't tempt him here to sin. That's not what God's talking about, an enticement to sin. God never entices man to sin. And we know that from James 1:13, where it says God doesn't tempt a man. In this point in time, it means to put to trial or to truth is what that means. God's command to Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac. That was the test. He was testing to see where Abraham's love for God was. There was a, number two, there was a submission of Abraham. When God called Abraham in verse 1, and I already touched on this, he said, here am I. When Isaac called Abraham, he said, here am I. When the angel called Abraham, he said, here am I in verse 11. Thirdly, the story to be told was the rewarding of Abraham. And the obedience brings blessing. In verse 15 and 17, we can see that. If you turn over there in verse 15 and 17, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. It's so important that we teach our children, obey, obey, obey my voice, obey my voice. The biggest thing we've been having to do with our youngest daughter is get her to look at you. If you get her to look at you, she might catch it. But she has a tendency, when you go to talk, she turns her head. And that's how many we are. So many times our minds wander, our thoughts wander. Listen, the devil's in here right now. I guarantee somebody is just now getting her attention because they've been daydreaming. And that's nothing more than a tool of the devil. I don't want you to hear what the preacher has for you now. Listen, obedience is just simply coming to church when you're supposed to be in church. You know, there's a lot of counseling, preacher, or Brother Morse. It's amazing that how much time my pastor has to spend counseling people, that if they would just adhere what he preaches and be faithful to Sunday school, faithful to Sunday morning, faithful to Sunday night, faithful to Wednesday night, they probably wouldn't need counseling. We waste so much time of the man of God's time asking him questions or sitting down, when if we just would have listened and obeyed what we heard. It's so crucial that we do that. It's so crucial that we do that, but we instill that in our kids. God was testing Abraham's heart, his love, his obedience, and his loyalty. Was God still sanctified in Abraham's heart? Or had Isaac taken first place? Brother, you have no idea in the last 10 years how many people I've seen that have had children, their first child, and their first child takes precedence over so many things of church. Right. It is amazing. I can't go to church. They might get a cold. Listen, one of the things that frustrates me all the time is the nursery's like sick bay at our church. If your kid is sick, just keep them out. Keep them at home until they get a little bit better. It's like sick bay. And our daughter, when she gets a cold, she gets an ear infection. So it's major. We just went through it, 2 weeks of no sleep, because when she gets an ear infection, it's miserable. My wife sleeps on the couch with her. But you know, it is amazing how many people will put their children before the things of God. How about this? How many people, when their boy gets old enough to start playing ball, ball becomes their God? We just come down the road here in Jasonville, and they're playing ball this morning. My son goes, "Dad, they're playing baseball this morning." I said, yeah, that happens. We're getting ready to start football. Double sessions, all that stuff. How many of them won't be in church on Sunday because they're gonna play football Sunday morning? Amazes me how many schools do that, play football on Sunday morning, do that kind of stuff, play baseball. When I was a kid, I was lost. I played little league. Didn't know if we played on Wednesdays. Didn't know. I don't ever remember playing on a Sunday though, but. You know, there were so many things. God was trying to test Abraham to see if Isaac had taken first place in his life. You know, this was told to me years ago. I asked a preacher. I was going through a trial, going through a situation in my life, and we were trying to make a pretty important decision. And I didn't want to get my family out of God's will, but I didn't want to keep them out of God's will. And I called a preacher friend of mine, and I asked him some questions. He said, "Brother," he said, "I think you already know the answer." He goes, "From our conversation, I think you know what you got to do." He goes, "But this is going to be my advice to you, and make this your advice, or make this your life decision making. You never put your family before God, but you never put your ministry before your family." And it's a tough separation. But how many preachers lose their kids because their ministry is 24/7? And don't get me wrong, a pastor's job is 24/7, but you have to find balance. As a Christian, we have to find balance. We have to keep God first in our place. My kids are not, my kids' wills and wants are not going to take place of where we're to be and what we're to be doing for God, period. Plain and simple. People say, why don't you put your kids in this? Why don't you have your kids do that? You know what? I'm trying to keep my kids sheltered from some things. They'll be okay if they don't play ball. They'll be okay if they don't do this. They'll be okay if they don't do that. You can still teach them to do some of that stuff. You can still teach them to have some fun. You know, they say, oh, if you homeschool your kids, they'll be socially distant from people. Has anybody met my son? My daughter's a little shy and reserved. Have anybody ever met my son? That kid is so forward and bold. He'll just do anything. He'll jump right in. He'll make friends where he has to. Does whatever he has to. But, you know, he's sheltered from those things. But, you know, I'm trying to keep my kids from some of the things of the world. And everybody else is trying to throw their kids into it. Listen, you have Christian school. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. We have a Christian school. It's just 30 minutes from our house. One way, so we choose to homeschool. Plus, with traveling and evangelism, it just makes more sense for us to do it. But Abraham's actions proved he trusted and feared God. It is easy to say we love God and we trust Him, but the trials and tests reveal the level of our love and trust and fear. I'll go to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans 5. The Bible says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, the thing about it is, trials and those tests, as they come, they teach us some things. And as they teach us some things, we get to a place where we understand. The first thing I do, Brother Morris, when a trial and a test come, I ask myself, am I doing everything God wants me to be doing? And if I am, I can just trust God that the trial and the test is there just to teach me to trust Him. And you know what? Our trials and our tests, how many of you would honestly be able to admit in here, sitting in here today, I've gone through something that God used me to help somebody else that was growing in faith to help them get through the same exact type trial? How many? I can honestly raise my hand and say, God has used me in a way through some of my trials and some of my situations to help people. My testimony of how I got saved and how I began to grow, and then it seemed like then all of a sudden all the fiery trials came and how I was ready to give up. I've been able to help some new Christians, some new converts get through those initial trials, initial purifying things just because of what I experienced and the faithfulness of God. When we realize the faithfulness of God, that he's going to see us through it. He's going to let us get to the other side of that trial, and it teaches us that patience. The biggest reason why people get out of God's will is they're not patient to let God let that thing materialize. So many Christians backslide on God because they don't understand what God's doing in their life. And they start to take things into their own hands. Because why? They're not patience. But patience comes through the experience of living through trials and living through those things. Let's look at a few principles to be applied, and we'll wrap it up. Like God did Abraham, God will test a Christian. God will test his heart to see if he truly loves him and trusts him. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. What are the key elements of passing God's test? Considering this Abraham's life, we can find a few essential things that Abraham did in his testing. And number one is our faith. Trusting God's faithfulness and goodness is key to passing our test. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews 11, 17. Go there very quickly. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. See, Abraham had been told, he took God's promise and he lived it by faith. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He could do it because he put his faith and trust in what God had promised him to do. He said that he would do it. And in verse 18, whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Basically, when Abraham took and he placed Isaac on that altar, he was trusting God so much in faith that he believed that even if he killed his son, God would raise him up, because he promised to multiply his seed through Isaac. God is faithful and good, and that is his nature. Trust what God says about himself through his word. Trials are not a time to second guess God. We understand this in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good. The key to that verse is to them that love God. That's the key that we have to understand, is our trials will show our true love for God. Our trials will, listen, I don't know how it is with all you. How many years y'all been married? 41 years. See, I like that, because I had to tell my wife the other day how many years we were married, and she, you know, it's normally the woman that remembers that. But anyways, 41 years. In 41 years, I would hope your love grew for one another, correct? There was probably some things when you first got married that you had some patience with, but then you went through that trial stage where you started to speak up about some things, or maybe some things frustrated you, or maybe you got to a place in your life where you're like, I don't know, I can live with this. But the more you grow to love them, the more you love to grow their, I don't want to say failures, but the things that maybe irritate you a little bit. And the more that we love them and they love us, the more that we tend not to do the things that we know our spouse doesn't like. I haven't mastered it yet. My wife's sitting back there grinning. So normally it's one of those things when you're married, when you know, and you get your wife on one of those little situations, you try to egg it on a little bit more, and da da da, and we have some fun with that. My wife and I have a wonderful relationship. I love her. I always tell her I'm her punishment for her being a prodigal child. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. But I love my wife. She's been good to me. Secondly, our submission. A second element to Abraham's testing was his submission. His submission and obedience to God and following his commandments. Submission to the needs of those around us and submission to God's appointed authorities in our lives. Listen, you may not agree with everything your pastor does, but if your pastor is walking with God, this is how I am with the decision making that I make. If my pastor brings something in front of the church that maybe I don't think is necessary, but he has a burden for it, and I know my pastor's walking with God, and he says, I would like to invest in this, or I would like to vote on giving this money to this cause, or doing this or doing that. Brother Morris, I may not totally agree with that. But if my pastor is walking with God and he feels that's a rightly cause to invest in, I'm going to go along with my pastor and I'm going to vote yes for that. Right. Amen. That's submission. Right. You don't know the hours of prayer, and you don't know the walk with God that your pastor has, and you don't know all the behind-the-scenes things that he knows. And if God has burdened his heart, you need to submit to the authority in your life. It's just that simple. Just be submissive about it. It'd be so much easier. And you know what? It trickles down through the family. The family sees that. Listen, dads, if we're not willing to submit, how do we expect our wives to submit to us? And then if the wife won't submit to the husband, how do you expect the kids to submit to you? Go quiet.
Okay, we'll move on.
Thirdly, our attitude. Our attitude is part of the test. The attitude reveals the submissive heart. God is watching to see how we will react. The test is our reaction to the difficulty. Think about Job's life. As Job went through those trials, yes, he went through some times. Listen, if we're going to sit here and say, well, Job complained about this and Job complained about that, let's see you go through what he went through. I think Job kept a pretty good attitude about it. Abraham here. The average Christian today would have said, God, I was 90 years old when you gave me this son. And now you're going to have me kill him? We would have complained. Come on. The only thing holding up your halo is your horns. We would have. What faith? What faith? What faith he had. Did he complain? Did we hear him complain? Did we see him think about it? What did he do? The next morning he rose up, right? What if he would have delayed, brother? What if he would have delayed? He kept the right attitude through the whole thing. That's what I mean, listen, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make you realize we all got room to grow in our faith. We all have room to grow in our faith. Amen. We're going to go through times in our life where the only thing that we have is God. It's not easy when you go through those times. But you know what? It was his attitude. The crown comes from patiently bearing the trial that God brings. James 1:12, and I'm going to wrap it up. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The trials will come, the times will come, and as we get through the trials and as we get through those tests and as we grow in those things and we learn to continue to trust God. When we hear the stories of this Bible, we have to understand there was some growing time for Abraham. There was growing time for us. There's growing time for all these saints that we saw. I think of Paul. Paul, look how he just continued to trust God while he was in prison, while he was stoned, while he was cast out, he was cast into the deep. All those trials that Paul went through, Paul kept the what? Right attitude, and the right attitude proves our love to God and allows us. Many times the length of the trial depends on how we're dealing with the trial. You murmur and complain about it, just might take longer to get through it and to see it. We don't deserve anything, folks. We don't deserve anything. And everything that we have and everything that God gives us is nothing more than a blessing. It's nothing more than that. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for this Sunday school hour. Thank you for this church, God. Lord, I pray that you would watch over us now for the morning service. God, I pray that you would just move into this building, God. I pray that your presence would be felt in the Sunday morning service. I pray, God, that, Lord, if there would be one here that's not saved, God, I pray that this morning be the time that they get that settled and call upon you and get saved. God, we thank you and praise you for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen.